Hey everybody, Shane Presley here to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Check him out, 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. Head down there and visit them and pick up some new records. They always new vinyl in every Friday. Lots of great used vinyl, CDs, tapes, and a fantastic local selection. Get on, take a look. Pick up some new music. They do a lot of live in stores on Saturdays and all kinds of just fun stuff. So get out, support your local record store, find them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hey everybody, we're My Legacy, My Ghost,
and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, this is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
I'm not afraid.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Sauget, Illinois, hanging out at Pops with the guys of My Legacy, My Ghost. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey,
glad to be here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Very glad to be here.
Yeah, this is only fitting that we're recording at Pops, where I first saw you guys.
Yeah.
And where your next show is going to be.
Where all our shows have pretty much been.
Yeah, so it's only, you know, it seems very appropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I guess we'll start. Everybody want to say hi, introduce yourselves for those listening at home. And
yeah. Hey, well, I'm Nate, Nathan, and Nate. Yeah.
And you play?
I play guitar badly.
My name is Drake. I also play guitar better than Nate, but not by a whole lot. Cool.
I'm Eric. I play drums.
Yeah.
And I'm Fox, and I sing. Short, sweet, and to the point.
I'm Weaver, and I also play bass, also badly.
I also play bass.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, that's what I mentioned, seeing you guys down here. But was that, the Road to Point Fest, or?
Yeah, that was the Road to Point Fest, yeah. The finale thing.
But you guys first caught my attention that night, and then I was down here, I forget who all else was on that bill, but come down to see some friends.
Oh, on the acoustic show with all the other cover bands, or
at the finals.
Okay.
Nervous Pudding, Soundtrap, Diamondback Kings,
Odom,
Coyotes,
Odom.
That whole bill was fantastic.
Yeah. What were the other bands? Yeah. It was System Slave.
Yeah, and that was.
I think that was everybody.
Yeah, all seven.
And then
no, there was eight.
Yeah. And we were the eight.
Yeah, okay, cool. Math, do I do it?
That, Diamondback Kings, those guys are really great, man.
Yeah.
We were really impressed by their success.
I really wish I could have seen more, because we were tearing down, like, since we had played right before them, and I was so bummed I didn't get to see more of them, but they're really good.
That whole night, like, even on the drive home, like,
Silent Hollow.
Yes. God, how do we freaking forget? We love those guys.
Yeah. They awesome. Were incredible.
But that was that whole night, like, seriously, we were on the drive home, and we were like, on the reel, any band that played that night could have won, and nobody could be mad, because that whole show was so stacked. Those bands were all so fantastic.
Stacked. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had Silent Hollow on the show.
Oh, yeah, great guys.
Dimebag Kings, and Odom recently, so... working my way off, checking everybody off our list. So,
right.
It was a lot of fun that night, and then I guess it was a little bit later. I went to the POD show.
POD, and called my hair in Discrepancies.
Yeah, Discrepancies. I remember that. Yeah. I missed that show. I had to work. It was depressing.
I had a great time, and then Nathan and Fox came up and said hey and introduced themselves, and. That was really cool.
Glad to.
Yeah, I was
appreciate what you do for the scene.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate what you guys do. But it was just really cool to you know, to get people to come out and say hey, you know, like I'm still kind of adjusting to this you know, being recognized kind of thing and stuff. I mean, like. Or people, I'm sure people have seen me around for years, like, cause I go to a lot of shows, but it's, people are starting to know more from the podcast and everything else than seeing my name and face and everything, but it is, it was really cool, but, then you guys, you guys mentioned the, Drake mentioned the acoustic show, and you guys did all your own originals that night, or
we did.
It was an all original acoustic set that
night.
But
it was like tribute stuff set too from people, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of really good. Safety Third did Green Day.
They're also known as the Winks.
Yeah, they have their original band is the Winks. Safety Third is actually like legitimately a Green Day cover band. They were fantastic too.
And then Silent Hollow did Incubus, and Eurydice did System of a Down,
which was also really fantastic. Really, really good. Yeah. System of a Down is a really, really hard band to pull off. They actually Like, that was a band, like, I'd never seen them before, but I knew as soon as I saw System of a Down, I was like, this is either going to be really good or really bad, and they pulled it off really, really well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, Vec, I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right, we actually ran into, like, his friends and, I guess, managers at the mall one time when we were, like, we were giving out tickets, like, we were putting them up, like, in Hot Topic everything, and we were in the food court, and then these women come up to us, and they were like, oh, hey, we got some tickets. You guys want to go to the show? And then we're just like, wait a second.
Just like,
we got some tickets, too. You want to go to the...
We just, like, reach in our back pockets. We're like, want to go to a free show? And they're like, oh, hey!
Yeah, just this past weekend, I was at work, and I had to come over... Like, I'm a supervisor at a retail store. And I walked over to one of my cashiers, and I was helping her out with something. And I look over, and I'm like, oh, it's these two same people again. Yeah. Keep running them everywhere.
Small world, man.
I just recorded with him last week, so... Okay. It'll be airing soon,
yeah,
and, or maybe already. Whenever you're listening to this,
true.
So yeah. Hopefully, already be out. Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that was really great, man. He's a super talented guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit after the show. He's really cool. He's really down to earth and humble, but he's definitely very, very good at what he does for sure. Very talented.
It was probably the same people. Somebody messaged me and said, "Hey, you should check him out, get him on the show," and I was like, "All right, I'm always down to meet somebody new and talk." And so that was I really wasn't really familiar before going to meet him, but I listened to all his stuff and I was like, "Wow, man, this is some great stuff." You know, his I really like his solo stuff. With the piano.
Just like, and he's playing with the cigarette in his hand. I'm
The whole time. Awesome. Yeah. The whole time he was up there on stage, I was looking at him. He just lit up a cigarette and was just smoking a cigarette and singing at the same time. Yeah, I'm like, how the hell does that even happen?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just like one of those poetic moments. I'm like, this is good.
Sure. Yeah.
But don't smoke, kids.
Don't smoke. Vape instead.
Vape instead.
Live on the wild side. Vape instead. And everyone takes it out of their vape.
So you guys will be back here January 15th at Pops. You will be playing with Inner Outlines, doing an acoustic set. Kai and the Odies.
Love those guys.
And they're going to be doing a tribute to Florence and the Machine, right?
Which is going to be very interesting.
So excited. I'm excited
That's going to be perfect.
They really are perfect for that.
Yeah. And then the Cinema Story. Doing Newfound Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've actually not seen that band before, so that's going to be fun.
I'm not familiar with them either. So
cool.
And then you guys will be playing Disney songs.
Classic Disney tunes. Yeah. That was one of the big things picking that set was like, what's going to kind of set us apart from everybody else, from every other band that plays a tribute show? Like, you expect to do a tribute show, they're like, okay, they're going to do a tribute to a band they really like or that they can kind of, you know, are kind of similar sounding to and they all really can appreciate. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, what can make us a little bit different but still kind of put us out just as much and really catch people's attention just as much? We thought, let's do some classic Disney songs. Let's get people into it, get people active. And
well, I have a lot of questions about this. So,
So
one, are you planning to keep them fairly close to the original sound? Or are you guys?
No, not at all. No.
So they're gonna get
Punko's Disney.
Pretty much the best way I can put it is we're going to be punkifying all the songs, kind of making them sound more like us. The lyrics are going to be the same. It's just we're going to make it all sound more like we would.
And there are a few songs that sound closer to the originals than others, but there are some that you're barely going to recognize for sure.
Well, hopefully you will.
the
point of a tribute.
The thing with the Disney songs is it's something that everybody listens to. It's something everybody knows all the words to.
And if you don't, you're lying.
And if you don't, you are lying. You know, shit, like half the band practices, after practice, we go on Netflix and watch Mulan or whatever we're feeling that day. So, you know, it's something that everybody can relate to, and it's something that is kind of dear to our hearts. And it's going to be as much funny as it is serious, but it's going to be a good time.
We've got some surprises in store. Get ready.
True.
I don't know. I was trying to. You were saying how some you'll recognize and things. I can't think of a good example right now. But there are some of those like where you hear a cover, and I'm like, man, I know the song. It's like it just hasn't clicked yet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, go through like the first verse, and then it hits that chorus, and you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like automatically, you just exit. Right. You're like, oh, I know where this came
but
from.
But it's a totally, you know, the different arrangement or take, you know, like I said, making it punk or whatever it might be. But some of you, like, you can recognize there's words, it clicks, you know, and you're like, and then, but yeah, sometimes it just takes maybe a minute to listen to it for every, you know.
And that's kind of the feel that we're going for. We want them to be close to the originals to where people will kind of recognize them.
Right.
We want them to be different enough to where, just like you were saying, like up through, you know, until the lyrics really kick in, you're really not going to be for sure of what song it is up until I start singing the words. And you're like, I know exactly what movie that's from.
Right. I think it'll be cool to like look out and see everyone just jamming out to Disney songs.
Yeah, because growing up, if you didn't watch classic Disney movies, then you didn't have a childhood. It was just one of those things. Like pretty much everybody watched Disney movies.
Sure,
it's just how it was. So
it's not like the whole
watched
like,
past tense, bruh.
Well, I mean, in our situation, I mean, being, you know, 20 some odd years old and still watching Disney movies, yes, there's
dude,
no age.
I just went out and bought The Incredibles today. No shame at all.
That's a good movie.
I'm 30, and me and my wife, we went to watch the Good Dinosaur the other, you know, when that came out and stuff. Like, we go to a lot of those movies, you know, for kids and stuff with it. Actually, The Good Dinosaur, I don't know, no spoilers here if you haven't seen it, but the...
Dumbledore dies.
there's some very twisted stuff for a children's movie in that movie. Like, there's a part where they, like, eat these berries and start doing, like, an acid trip, and it's pretty... I mean, for, like, a, you know, for, like, a PG movie, like, I was kind of surprised to see that. And then there's a part where the, you know, the pterodactyl's like the evil character, and they like pick up this raccoon and like look at him, and he's got the big, you know, big eyes and everything, real cute, and then he just eats it, and it's like it's, you know, stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things too. I mean, even like back then though, like going back and watching some of the old Disney movies you loved as an adult, a lot of those movies are a lot darker than anybody remembers. Like, what did I watch the other day? It was like Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that is a messed up movie.
The original story, like, if you go back to, like, there's a lot of these things, like, circulating Facebook, and we'll talk about the original stories that these Disney movies are based on. They are so messed up.
You know, they're dark.
Everybody dies in most of them. Like, everybody.
I mean, example, Pocahontas.
Well, even lately, you know, like Frozen, like it starts off, both the parents die, you know, so like, it's
that,
like, well, that's pretty messed up.
And they're starting to like really, really like pretty blatantly incorporate those more adult themes into the kids' movies. It's like, I don't know if a kid can really handle this sometimes.
Yeah. But at the same thing, like at the same time, when you watched those movies as a kid, you didn't get the
as a like, little kid, it's like you go back at this age and you watch those movies, you realize all the references, and you're like, "How did I miss this?"
Right? It's a
or
lot
like
more
going back and watching Scooby Doo. That movie is so messed up.
Yeah, it is.
Mary Jane, that's like my favorite name. Shaggy being obviously a star.
Yeah.
Yikes, Scoob!
Yikes, Scoob! Gosh. I'm gonna stop that now.
Thank you.
So, we don't want to give them all the, but you guys want to tease at any anything in the set, or we want to keep it all a surprise?
We're trying to keep some of it a surprise, but But
I mean, there's probably one thing that we could kind of tease a little bit. I mean, we can't leave them completely, totally hanging.
Yeah, okay.
We've got seven or eight songs that we're going to play, so it's like...
So I'll go ahead and give one. Like, this was actually kind of what made me want to... This is why I kind of, like, suggested this in the first place. A couple years ago, it was literally 2 years ago, actually was playing a show at Pops with Eric, and I had an old band. And that show, like, my guitar, like, someone dropped my guitar and the headstock broke. And,
Sam.
Yeah. And, like, it rendered the guitar pretty much unusable. And then I was also living in Arkansas at the time, and I was completely away from my friends and family, and I was all by myself. So I went back to Arkansas, and I was really bummed out, and I was like, I don't know if I want to be involved in music anymore. I just kind of get tired of it. And then my parents were coming down, because my dad worked in Arkansas at the time. And they were there for Christmas, and they're just like, okay, well, let's go see this movie. I'm like, I don't wanna. Well, it's got really great reviews. It's this movie called Frozen.
Yeah.
So I went out and saw it, And then as soon as Let It Go came on, I was like, I want to cover it. I'm in, I want to do music. I love music. I want to cover the song. I love it. It's great.
Let It Go save Nate's life.
I was going to say, yeah. Let It Go save
Nate. And that is how
Nate
is a
12-year-old
girl.
And that's why he's also a 12-year-old girl. That is why I'm a 12-year-old girl.
He has a selfie stick, like fucking Spice.
Holding it on.
Nate, the true Let It Go underdog story.
Yeah, right, so that's like, that's going to be a song we're going to be covering, because, duh.
That's another one that we have really high expectations for, because, you know, with as big of a movie as Frozen was whenever it first came out, and even still to this day, a lot of people are still going crazy about it.
Sure.
It's like Let It Go was like the big song the year that movie came out.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
I can almost guarantee anyone who's going to be in that audience has heard that song at least once. And we can expect heads to turn.
It's another one that, like, even until the Let It Go part comes in, I don't know what it is when they're playing it. Like, I'm not too familiar with it. So, like, the intro of it, I'm like,
the same thing.
And Let It Go. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like the beginning riff that we're working on for it. Like,
yeah, like you
it's like
know,
you wouldn't
it's
know what it was
you know
up
it's
until
chorus, but it's
it
still,
hits that point.
Still
so
there.
That's kind of the whole idea of it, is keep people guessing until it hits that point.
Yeah. But we can't say anymore because we don't want to spoil it too
much.
Can't spoil too much. Gotta leave you guys guessing. But
yeah.
It's pretty dope, though.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely intriguing, you know? It's like, I want to see how you guys are going to pull this off and how it sounds, because I think it'd be interesting to hear some classics pumped up.
So. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so let's start with a little backstory of the band. Get to know you guys, because I just met most of you guys, so
yeah.
Where did it all start?
Nate, well, take it away.
Yeah, well, Eric and I had, like I said earlier, we played in an older band, and I left that band and moved on to another one, and then that one fell apart, and I was just like, okay, I really want to, like, start a band that we're going to take seriously and hopefully go somewhere with this. And then I just put, you know, Facebook status up, and then Eric's like, I want in. And it was like, all right, man. So that was back in, like, 2012, so we've been kind of working at this for a while, and
pizza,
we just got pizza, so
oh, here we go.
But yeah,
we're truly
blessed.
Yeah, so it was just like, okay, let's kind of start this band, and then eventually that was also like right before I moved to Arkansas, and I went to Arkansas, and I realized I want to be in a band again, so I moved back, and by that point Drake had joined the band that I had left, and so we were like, okay, let's go ahead and start this band off. We're just like, all right, well, we need a singer. And Drake was like, well, I know a guy. And we're just like, okay, sure. So
how every conversation went. Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. Word for word right there.
Right. Yeah. So we basically played this, we're playing this, again, that was that old band. We were playing a show at the Mad Magician. And it was a...
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Right. And we were playing this cover of Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. And, you know, because it's Limp Bizkit and Break Stuff, people obviously went buck wild.
Yeah.
And at midway through the song, we're kind of standing there, and we look over out of the crowd, and there's this kid, like, on the ground, like, oh my god, what happened? And they pull him over, and, like, got a contusion, and that's how we met Fox.
That's how the story of I came to be.
I was at that show, and I was behind him when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, somebody had accidentally knocked me into the mosh pit, and I got pushed back, and my back hit one of the pillars that was in that building, so I fell to the ground. And when you fall to the ground in the mosh pit etiquette is pick their asses up off the ground and get them back on the floor. Well, some big burly dude came and picked me up, lifted me into the air. Well, I'm still in the mosh pit, so some dude comes from my left and just plows me while I'm in midair.
Yeah, it's
I go flying about, like, 10 feet and land straight down on my wrist. And I'm like, I cannot get up. I'm in so much pain.
Yeah, it was on video. It was pretty brutal. We got on video. It's brutal.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, it's kind of funny that, you know, Nate mentioned that I joined the band and I was like, hey, by the way, I got a singer. Because the way that I met Fox was, because I do some recording work, too. You know, I do all of our records, and I've done records for a couple other bands. And I had actually been doing a record for Fox's old band that he was actually drumming in, not singing. And Fox is a fantastic drummer, but he went to do some of the background vocals in that band and, like, harmonies and stuff. And I was just like, dude, like, you're a better singer than your lead singer. Why aren't you the lead singer?
Yeah.
And that band was kind of in the process of falling apart. as we were doing the record anyway.
It really was.
So kind of by the end of the record, I'd become enough good enough friends with him that I was just like, by the way, Fox, I'm recruiting you. You're my singer now. And that shortly after, we kind of started a much heavier project than this that just we never really found the members to really take anywhere. And I was kind of juggling both bands. And as the band that me and him were trying to start just wasn't really going anywhere, that's when it was kind of like, all right, well, I love this dude like a brother. This band, which turned out to be My Legacy, My Ghost, is actually like writing really good music, and we're doing something with it, and we have the work ethic. Like, and then that's kind of like where he kind of came in.
Yeah.
But it all started out, he was a drummer who didn't really want to sing.
Yeah,
and I was like, awesome. We whipped him into shape.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Greek Fire, you know, with Phil playing guitar in Story of the Year. Like, he sang backup stuff, but like, I never realized that guy can sing he can until Greek Fire hit. And like,
pipes, man. I remember hearing about Greek Fire and being like, oh, that might be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. The Greek Fire in like a small venue before they really got big, that was one of the best live shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, whatever, 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, seeing my cousin Adam like went to school with those guys. Used to play in the scene when those guys were coming up, like Big Blue Monkey and stuff like that. So anyway, he's known of Phil and Dan and Ryan for a long time, and he calls me up one day. He's like, hey, you want to go to a show? And I'm like, all right, yeah. And he goes, it's over a food bar. It's Fuck Off and Dies and Greek Fire. And
love that band too.
And I was like, okay, yeah, let's go. And so anyway, I didn't know either anybody. I didn't know either of the bands. This is early on, and one of the first gigs. So it was pretty crazy to see that band and know now everything. But at the time, like, I didn't even realize that was Dan and Phil and Ryan and all those guys. So like, but now again, now I've learned. But yeah, it's crazy to see what Greek Fire is doing now. Like that band is. They just sold out the pageant and stuff.
Right.
And,
it's crazy to see them come up from the local scene and blow up as big as they have. A song in Big Hero 6.
Yeah, like Disney.
Right, like they've definitely worked quick and worked hard, and it's pretty impressive. It's an inspiring story, especially because the St. Louis scene is really the only people that really got to see them start from scratch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But another funny thing about the story, kind of like of our origins.
Yeah.
The one thing that I can always remember about us is, you know, all of us, with all of us, music has always been our passion. It's always been, like, growing up, especially, like, I can speak for myself saying music has always been a big thing for me. Like, I started to get into music when I was a little kid, and I would, like, march to my mom singing, and she knew, like, I was going to end up being a musician. But music has always been a passion for all of us, so we've been trying to be in bands for as long as we can remember. And there was one show that I remember playing with one of my old bands way back in 2012. It was like the very first show that we had ever played with my old band. And it was just a little show that just some of the local guys just put together at a sportsman's club, where like right by where we live.
The M-Town?
Yeah, the M-Town.
Yeah, M-Town show there.
I remember.
Yeah, all of us played in a different band then.
Yeah, right. that was it. Like, we got there, and we played the show, and one thing I always look back at, because I didn't realize it until now that I'm, you know, friends with them and bandmates with them and pretty much family with them, is that each one of us, out of, like, the six bands that played that night, all four of us, me, Eric, Drake, and Nate, all played in different bands at that same show.
Yeah,
so we were all in that same building, all playing the same, like, that same venue, well, quote-unquote venue. But we were all there under that same roof, and none of us really knew each other. Some more than others. Like, I know Nate and Eric knew each other well and all that, but it was really weird just looking back at that now, being in a band with all these guys. Like, we were all under a roof together in the same room, not really knowing each other.
That was a solid 3 years before we got together.
Yeah, that was exactly. Well,
And the biggest problem with starting to start a band, that makes sense in my head.
The hardest part about starting a band.
Yes, that one. The hardest part about starting a band that you actually want to go somewhere is there's so many people that you play with that may be fantastic musicians that don't necessarily have the drive to really want to do it for a living or to take it as far as they can.
It's like trying to find the members that really want to do it for the rest of their lives and want to put that kind of effort into it.
This is the first band we've been in all of us collectively weeding out the people that didn't want to do it, and it's been a 5-year process for most of us.
Trying
to get a group of people that really actually want to do it and have the drive and the work ethic.
Finding the charisma between the people.
Get that chemistry. And I mean,
that was one of the big things. Like I said, like about the origin of like My Legacy, My Ghost. Like right after the incident where we all finally met and started playing together, I started going over to Nate's house and we would just go up into his room. He would plug his guitar in. He would print off the lyrics to some of the songs that he had worked on, and I would just start learning them, and I'd just start singing, and he'd play, and that was probably a several month process.
Yeah, it was several months, and then what happened was, up until recently, my parents were actually living in India, and I went over there for like 3 weeks, and I guess while I was gone, everyone's like, we need to start doing stuff. So they're like, pretty much, I get back, and about 6 seconds later, we're back in my basement setting up, making a practice studio. And we're just kind of looking at each other. It's like, well, let's actually, you know, work on this band. Let's start doing stuff.
So it wasn't really until I would say about maybe like January of this year that everything really got like settled and started going.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding the members again, like I said, is another really big thing. But within the time that he was gone for what, like 3 weeks?
Yes,
you were
3 weeks.
Yeah. And within that time, I was just like, we need to really get this ball rolling if we want this to become something. You know, you got to look at it like a business. It's like, if we want this to be something, we have to work at it.
Yeah.
So it's like finding all the members and starting the work was the big thing.
Yeah.
So we all just started going out, trying to find the members, trying to get everybody in. And we originally had Eric come in and try and play bass for us at one point. And, you know, like, it was just trying to find the members to actually do it. And eventually we finally got a steady lineup as of, like, January, a little after he'd gotten back. And then the work just started.
Along came the Weaver.
And then the Weaves came.
Yeah.
And that's
awesome.
We should talk about Sam's involvement too a little bit because our original bass player, we love him and he's awesome, and the only reason that he left the band is sadly he had about a week after he got an apartment because his mom moved to Colorado for work. One of the neighbors in his apartment left their space heater against the wall, and it burned the entire apartment complex down.
Entire complex to the ground. It was like five or six rooms within that apartment.
He pretty much ran out, grabbed his backpack with his medicine and his shoes and his bass and amp. Yeah, and his bass.
Well, his bass was at my house.
And his bass and amp was actually at the practice space, and that was pretty much all he had to his name. So he moved back to Colorado. Because he wasn't making enough money to buy a bed, pay rent on another apartment.
It was one of those big things. He had to make that choice for himself. It wasn't a, you know, okay, I have nothing left here, I'm going to go. He had us in mind as well, because he was a good member of the band for the time that we had him. It was just like, with him going away, we totally understood and respected him leaving, because he's got to do what's best for him, especially, you know, with him only being 22 years old. It's like, he's got to get out, he's got to live his life, and right now, you know, in the situation that he was in, he didn't have anything.
The thing about when we were trying to find another bass player is that the hardest part about, you know, we even thought about not trying to find another bass player, because the band members we have now have so much charisma and love for each other, and we are family. Our biggest worry was that we were going to find somebody who was an awesome bass player that we didn't love as much as we already loved each other. So
it was homosexuals.
Yeah, homosexuals.
But it's real
though. You know, it was really nice. Weaver was actually filling in for bass in the other band that Nate and Eric used to play in, and I filled in for guitar for that band because the singer and guitar player really didn't want to play guitar; he just wanted to sing. And we met Weaver, and me and Eric hung out with him, and we were like, this is a cool dude. Like, we could get behind this. You know, we asked him to fill in for one show, and he worked harder.
May I add, the hardest working dude
you've
ever met.
Like,
high five. This guy.
This dude learned our set in, like, a week flat.
He learned how to play bass 3 months, like, before we even, like, a month before we even played the other band. Like, he learned how to play bass. He never, like, and he's already come so far, and he's like, every time I think about it,
it blows my mind.
Like, how you can
make me blush.
You know, and that's the big thing is, you know, we want to do this for a living, and we have a work ethic and a drive, and that was something we really saw in Weaver is, you know, he works harder than, you know, most all of us, and completely, like, blew us away way more than we were expecting.
Yeah.
You know, to learn an entire set in a week and be able to play it on stage when you've only been playing the instrument for less than 6 months,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty damn impressive.
Sure.
Yeah. You know.
Anyway, but it looked like you were about wanting to say something there.
Oh, no. I mean, I wasn't going to cut you off.
I do want to say really quick, thank you. That was really nice.
You're welcome.
I feel
saying it because he's in the room. No, but for real, though, you put a lot of work and a lot of effort into it, and we couldn't be more grateful for the effort that you put in.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You've come a long way in a little bit amount of time.
Just the last thing I want to say, and this is more is like a general thing, especially to anybody who's listening that might want to start a band, you know, it's a lot more important to play with people that you love and get along with than it is to play with fantastic musicians.
Because
you will always practice and get better in your instrument. You know, if you find someone that you get along with, that you mesh well with, that you can hang out with, that you can see yourself living on a tour bus with, you know, they're going to be better in a month, let alone 6 months, let alone 2 years, than they are now. So that's not really the thing to worry about, mm-hmm. really, I think. Especially in punk rock, when you don't know how to play your instrument anyway.
Accurate.
As we said, play badly. Anyway.
When you were mentioning about being all under the same roof and mm-hmm. and all that story, just this last week or whatever it was, I saw you know, like the Facebook memories or whatever, mm-hmm. time hop kind of thing, but like two years ago I went to a show out in Wentzville where I live and it was Silent Hollow, Divide the Empire, Steel Line, and Molehill,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I just went because it was a great rock show in my own hometown, for mm-hmm. which rarely happens because we don't have a venue or anything out there. So it was just these guys came in and played this bar, but to see that and not, you know, I didn't know any of those guys then, but now, you know, fast forward 2 years, I've had Divide the Empire and Silent Hollow on my show, mm-hmm. and Divide the Empire and Silent Hollow become good buddies of mine too.
Yeah.
So it's but when I recorded with Divide the Empire first, and I was talking about that show, well, the first time I remember hearing their name, and I said something about it, and I couldn't think of the fourth band on that bill,
mm-hmm.
When I was on the podcast, and so a little later I become friends with the guys at Silent Hollow. Mm-hmm. Drake's like, "Hey man, we were the fourth band on that show."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh man, sorry, you know." Like, you know, and he's like, "I guess I guess you didn't remember us. We probably weren't that memorable or whatever it was." So I was like, "Oh, and I'm sure I forgot." Or,
yeah.
But anyway, I realized through all that too on Facebook, I realized I didn't get there till 11 o'clock because I had mm-hmm. to work. So I got there late.
That's
so I'm
weird.
Sure I missed their whole set completely. But to know that I walked into the building and all those guys were in the same room, and now they've become some of my best buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild to you know, how it all comes full circle, how we all, you know, music brings us back together.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, like we were saying earlier, we love Silent Hollow, and actually Eric and I, we know the drummer of Divide the Empire, Keith. He's
yeah.
great dude.
He's
like,
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, I like all those guys a lot.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, back when the band was first starting, over like pretty much a year ago, is about last January, Eric was actually originally going to play bass, and Keith from Divide the Empire was thinking about drumming.
Yeah,
for
he came
us.
Out and jammed, but I mean, because Defy the Empire was like, because you know they're working on their album and stuff. He's like, yeah,
didn't want to take the time for two bands, which is
totally
admirable. Like,
I
wouldn't want to divide time away from this band. So I
divide. Pun number one, strike one.
Oh, dear God, now it's starting.
<Uh-oh>. Anyway, yeah.
Well, let's talk about your you guys put out this EP.
Yeah,
a little bit ago.
Yeah,
Keep Your Secrets.
Yeah. So I guess you recorded most of the stuff, Drake?
Yeah, it was pretty much all done in my basement with a decent amount of crappy recording gear. You know, I did go to school for audio engineering, and I worked in one of the bigger studios in St. Louis for a while, and realized that it was 70 hours a week of work for very little money.
Yeah,
and decided I couldn't really work in like a big facility like that. But I've got my own hodgepodge of stuff at home, and I love doing it. I absolutely love recording, and you know, I've done our band, I've done a couple other bands, but it was really just, you know, a love effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
we're a bunch of broke kids that hadn't played enough shows to have any money yet. And
sure.
Still a bunch of broke kids with no money.
Well, we're still, yeah, we haven't come anywhere from that, but it's nice that I have enough stuff to do it at home, because it would be pretty expensive to do it anywhere else.
Yeah, I've talked to, you know, over the span of this show several times about it, but it's pretty wild that you know we have access to the equipment to do it,
yeah,
a fairly, you know, solid recording at home for you know, rather inexpensive compared to what it used to cost to put records together and things
absolutely. Doing drums is still the most difficult part, because you need a ton of mics, you need a ton of mic pre's, you need a ton of inputs.
Yeah. And you need a nice room.
Well, and you need a nice sounding room, and having a good drummer helps.
Thanks, Eric.
But, no, it's amazing. I mean, even 10 years ago, if you wanted to set up a home studio 10 or 15 years ago, you'd be spending probably 10 grand. You'd be on ADATs. You wouldn't have hardly any editing capability. You know, with modern computers, you can spend $500 mm-hmm. and make a good sounding record.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. If you have the skills, it's absolutely skills over technology nowadays.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
So you guys have, was it six songs?
Six songs.
Yeah, six song EP. And all available on Bandcamp.
Yeah, download for free.
Yeah, it's pay what you want, which means put in $0 and take it home, because we don't care.
Well, we do, but please enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We don't care about the money, especially at this point when we're not making any money anyway.
It's
definitely more... We care more about people hearing it than people paying for it, without
definitely.
A doubt.
Anyway, I think a lot of people are on that same kind of vibe, where you more or less just want to get it to as many people as you can. I mean... You know, if you can make a couple bucks along the way, that's great, but you're more or less, if you can make a fan, that's even more important.
Right.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And that's how it's been, like, with our merch. Like, we have download cards we give away at our shows, and same thing, is pay what you want. If you want to take one. If you know, we've had people come up and give us, like, $5 for a download card before. It's mm-hmm. like, you literally can walk up to the table and just grab a card and walk away, and we'd be completely happy
if
you're walking away getting to listen to the music. But the fact that we've had a couple people come up and actually give us more money than we would have expected for one is like, it's like, you know, you have the option to just take it for free, but you're literally going to pay us for it.
Sure.
Like that really shows that you want to support us and everything. You really enjoy us and everything. That really hits home for all of us.
Yeah,
it really
does.
Shows what we're doing is really worth it.
The other thing I would like to say, and this doesn't really have a lot to do with that, but it's a funny little tidbit for any of the people listening. Not to say pay more, by all means pay less, take it for zero, but if somebody actually pays us less than a dollar, or a dollar or less for our record on Bandcamp, we actually get no money, because the entire dollar is taken in taxes.
So
if you would
pay a dollar, pay more or zero. That's
and by all means pay zero. Like, I'm not bitching and complaining. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you want to pay a dollar? No, just take it for free. Just go ahead and screw iTunes while you're at it. Like... I just thought that was hilarious. I saw that the other day. Somebody paid a dollar for our single, Cherry Blossoms, and it was like 75 cents went to Bandcamp. There was like an 11 cents tax on this and like a 14 cents tax on this.
And there was nothing left.
So you made you made $0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
But,
okay.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
It is kind of... It is pretty crazy, like, some of the figures and how they break it down, like, you know, Spotify and stuff, and how, like, what they pay artists compared to what, you know, where all the money goes and things.
Yeah, that's actually part of the reason we're not on iTunes yet, and we're actually working on that, and it probably will be kind of soon, but on average, through a label, if you put your music on iTunes, if somebody pays a dollar for something, you usually see about 3 cents of it, give or take.
Sure.
So
sad state.
Yeah. I was at a show the other night to see Will Hoag, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and he was doing a solo. He did some stuff acoustic, but he also played a little electric. But it was all he just did it by himself. He usually plays with a band, but this time he was doing a storytelling tour, and he some girl's phone goes off in the middle of one of his songs, and it was actually his song, which was even, it was weird, you know, like, it wasn't the same song, but it was Will's voice, and she cut it off pretty quick, but it was enough of it to where you recognized that it was Will, and she, or, so somebody yells, Will stops the song, and kind of just looks at her like, you know, what was it, you know, because obviously it's like super quiet in there, it was really obvious, and then this guy goes, "Whoa, is it make it any better that it was your song?" And he goes, "Well, it depends on if she bought it or if she stole it." And she goes, she goes, "Well, she bought it." And she goes, "Okay, well, that's fine." And it's like, and he's like, "Well, that's what threw me off was like I thought it was my song because you know you could recognize his own voice, obviously." But that was it was just a funny moment. But I think that's the ringtones though. I think for whatever reason, I think artists make more off of ringtones than. Than the song.
I think I remember reading that somewhere, actually.
Something
too.
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what
that... I mean, they don't make money regardless.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's all about... Basically, bands now are just glorified t-shirt retailers.
Under the starving artist club.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We've accepted the fact that we're going to be dirt poor forever. That's okay.
Dirt 4 or 5.
I was listening. And like I said, when I seen you guys live hearing the songs, I enjoyed them then. But I was listening on the band camp and rocking out on the way down here and stuff, and it's the Great Pariah?
The Great Pariah, yeah.
Yeah, Pariah.
Or Palette of a Tortured Artist, yeah.
Yeah. But I really dig that one. Especially, like, I don't know, I think a lot of what, like, your, the singing, like, you know, the tempo, like, or whatever, the pattern you're singing and like that, like, I don't know, it just gets sketchy. It's like,
yeah, there's a good portion of that song that's just really like rhythmic and spitty and like almost like, I don't want to say rappy, but kind of has like that rhythm tone to it where it's almost a percussive vocal.
Right. Yeah. And that's really actually cool. Well, I mean, just one thing like conceptually about the song that I'm really proud of, it comes off like with this kind of swagger that not that some of our other songs don't really have.
Right.
And maybe not in a bad way, but it just comes off with that vibe. And it's like, and me as a writer, I'm like, I've never written anything like that before. That's really cool.
All right.
And also, it's just kind of funny because at the same rhythm, I realized you can also dance along doing Gangnam Style horse riding. Yeah.
So you, Nate, write the lyrics?
Most of it. There's them.
I noticed when your guys are performing, Fox, you know, singing, but you also sing and stuff. And I'm like, but... I don't know, it just, I mean, not that it wouldn't have to be either way, but I kind of felt like the way you were, like, mouthing all the words along, too, like, that there are songs that, you know, I mean, obviously you guys would know the songs that you've been playing the song, but just kind of, even before you saying that, I kind of felt like that you might have wrote these songs or had at least a part in it or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
very personal.
Well,
yeah. The songs mean a lot to me, because, I mean, a lot of people don't really know this, but the EP is actually a concept EP, and it's going to be kind of followed up whenever we record our second one. It's actually going to be kind of a continuation of that, and it's the songs are basically, it's a concept about coping with and depression. Disclaimer: I don't suffer from that anymore, but they mean a lot, and that's one thing that as a writer I kind of really hope to do is my goal at the end of the day is if I can change one person's life from a song I've written, then I just blow my mind.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The goal is just, you know, connect with someone. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing, like, while my struggles are my own, like, I kind of try to take the songs and, like, write them, like, in a way that someone will be able to kind of, like, make it relatable to them. And that's, I mean, of course, though, they're deeply personal to me, and I try to connect with other people.
I do want to add to that. If you know what's good for you, connects with me a lot. And so I think that's why I really like that song. It's probably my favorite one to listen to and play live, honestly.
Glad to hear that.
Became one of my favorites to play live.
Yeah, I agree. It's such a simple song.
Now I love it.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people don't realize or know if they don't know the band personally is, you know, we've been playing in this band for close to about a year as far as starting to getting together, working on the record, doing whatever. But a lot of these songs, and really the whole band's concept in general, has been Nate's baby for, like, what, four or five years now?
Yeah.
I remember
a lot. Not all the songs, but a fair chunk of the songs that we have written, those we've recorded and those we haven't recorded yet, Nate wrote 2, 3, 4 years ago, yeah. and we just kind of took them out of the box and dusted them off and put some production on them.
Yeah.
Well, but a lot of the lyrics and a lot of the music has been written for a very long time, and that's yeah. pretty much entirely Nate's yeah. doing.
Yeah, yeah like one of our big songs that we have that I noticed people have been getting into recently is Red Lotus. And that was probably the one, if I'm correct, that's the one that's really been around the longest, and that's kind of been, that was like one of the ones that we worked on way back in the day when I first started with him. Yeah. And it was one of those things, like, with him, just like he was saying, he wrote it 3, 4, 5 years ago, and now, you know, I remember as soon as we got done recording it and, like, we listened to it, just the look on his face was just like, ecstatic and just, like, awe-inspiring, just like, you couldn't even believe the look in his eyes, just finally hearing it all come together
and... No, and kind of on that note, I don't think I ever told you guys about this, and it's going to make me look like a righteous wimp, but...
Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, we don't need any more of that. It is
Well, we were, like, earlier this year, was one of our first kind of quote-unquote shows we played was at this talent show, and Eric was away at school, and we couldn't have the band come in to kind of show them what we're capable of, so we're just like, okay, well, let's start recording now, and we basically... started recording the song that's now Invisible like 3 days before we went in to take it to this group to listen to. They're the people who decide if we can play the talent show or not, and we show it to them, and like their jaws just drop. And on the entire car ride there, like everyone else in the car was just screaming along to the lyrics, and it was so relieving because I'm like, I've had these lyrics stuck in my head for a couple years now, and to hear other people going like singing what's been going on in my head, it was just mind blowing, and I
had almost forgotten about that too. Yeah, we didn't have the band to try out for the talent show, so we had to record a song in like 2 days. It was like 2.5 days.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 days. But anyway, so we go in there and we come back, and we slept over at Drake's house that night, and I was just crying on the couch because I'm like, oh my god, it's happening!
Like,
I'm a basic white girl.
Same thing that he was kind of saying. That's been one of the really big moments for me, like, as a vocalist. Like, you know, obviously, like I said, this is my first time really being a vocalist in a band. I've, you know, made big strides in it. I know everybody's been, you know, praising me on how well I've been doing, and I've been...
Yay,
Foxy! I've been taking the steps to get better and better and better as time goes by. And one of the big things with me, it's always been, is exactly like you said, with Invisible has kind of become... I wouldn't necessarily say it's like... Well...
It's one of the most anthemic songs.
It's pretty much... It's like the most known song. Yeah, right? Like everybody really gets into it. Everybody really loves it. And one of the big things with me was the last show we played when we played the final round...
The finale of
Road to Point Fest, you know, even though it was like all of our friends and everything who were up there in the front, still, I looked down at them as I was singing, and I almost had a tear roll down my face because I saw all of them were singing along with me, and even like my girlfriend who I just showed the song like a week before, she was singing all the words to me. I'm like, how the hell do you even know these words?
It
almost made me like tear up a little bit because like this is what I really want. I want to look out into a crowd. I want to hear people singing my songs. I want to see, you know, all these looks on people's faces when I see them actually singing the lyrics of, you know, these songs that we've been working on. It just, you know, it gives you some real like euphoria almost. Like, this is what we've been working for.
It feels so good. It's so gratifying just to see it.
Like, I think
it's the best feeling, honestly.
Yeah. I think anybody who's in a band can relate that there is no better feeling in the world than watching other people sing your songs.
Oh, it's so
like,
good.
Even my
buddy Austin, who was at that same show, like, I didn't even know that he knew the words, and I was up there singing it, and he was right down in front of me, and I was down singing it to him, and I just gave him, like, a high five. I'm like, dude, I'm so proud of you for knowing these words. I'm like, that's my guy right there, so.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it's just a real feeling of euphoria, just to look out and just see everyone singing the words to your song. It's like, this is really hitting home. This is really, like I said, this is what we're doing this for. It's like trying to get the message out to people, get the music out to people, and just seeing how many people really enjoy it and everything is like... It almost like just gives you the shakes with how happy you are. It's like,
I wanted to ask a couple of questions to help kind of get some character, some personality out there about you guys and get to know you guys a little better. But let's go around the room. I know you guys haven't thought about these, but whoever wants to start. And but what was your first concert you guys remember?
That we went to or that we played?
That you went to as a fan.
Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters got trade with Rise Against.
Oh, jealous. That was
yeah,
I was spoiled my first show.
That was a good one, yeah.
I went to Avenged Sevenfold. on my first show.
Yeah.
With Ghost and Deftones.
I was at that show. That was one of the first shows I ever went to. The first show I ever actually saw, and I actually don't remember which came first. I really don't. But a long time ago, like, my dad was, like, really big into 80s hair metal, like, he grew up in that scene, so that's kind of what I grew up on, was, like, even going back further, like, Led Zeppelin, but a lot of, like, Guns N' Roses and Metallica and stuff.
Yeah.
And my first two concerts were Ozzy and Bon Jovi, and I think I saw Bon Jovi first, but I really don't remember.
Living on a prayer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some good ones.
Which is hilarious because Nate hates 80s anything.
I hate 80s anything, but I love Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Just those, like, two songs, good but man. I love Bon Jovi.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And that's another one of the things that we can touch on. Like, it's cool seeing just the variety of music that we all like at the same time. Because, you know, coming around to me, I didn't even get to say mine. My first concert I ever went to was the Monster Outbreak tour in, like, 2013. It was, like, headlining As I Lay Dying and Asking Alexandria.
Metal.
And it had Attila and Icy Stars and Memphis Mayfire, and
such a good one.
Suicide Silence was supposed to play it, but that was like 3 weeks after Mitch had died, so they didn't get to play it. But, you know, my very first show was like a really hardcore metal show, you know, and we got Foo Fighters and Rise Against and Ozzy and all that stuff. It's like, you can see there's all different kinds of musical styles, which I love about us.
I don't know what counts or not. My first show I ever went to was some kind of free Christian concert that they had in Colorado. It was whatever. First kind of festival was Point Fest back in 2009, which was cool. That was actually, I think, one of the first performances Greek Fire ever had.
Yeah.
There was that, my first, like, real show, like, at a venue was seeing Sick Puppies play here at Pops.
Was that it was with one?
With Seether
and
Wright
and King?
Young Guns and King, and we actually got to meet King earlier that day. It was cool, but
I remember that because I wasn't there. But I remember you came home and immediately tried to get me addicted to Young Guns.
Yeah. Oh, Young Guns are
amazing. Which you succeeded, by the way.
They were
make a note
amazing.
Of that.
Like, and it was actually while I was watching Young Guns when I just kind of looked up there. I'm like, I want to do that. Yeah. I want to play that. Like, well, that's what I want to be. That I want to be that person up there on stage playing out to other people.
I thought that show was very interesting because, like I said, it was the Triple Threat tour. It was the fact that they were all three-piece bands.
Except Young Guns.
Well, yeah, but, like, it was, like, co-headline bill with Seether, Sick Puppies, and King, and the fact that, they're all trio, so that was pretty interesting, so.
One thing I also thought was really funny about that tour is they're all from, like, different countries. You had, like, the UK, the US, South Africa, and then Australia. But other than that, like, my first, like, set of shows, because really I started going to a lot of, like, local shows first. Like, one of my favorite bands ever, called You're Not Complamo.
Yeah.
Like, they were some friends of ours.
I mean, if they count, they're probably before Rise Against the Foo Fighters.
But. Yeah. Like, they're just one of those local bands. We see them play, like, people's houses, and that's what made me want to be in a band in the first place. So.
My first show that I recall, wanting to go to and asking my mom to get tickets, it was, 97. It was Matchbox 20, Soul Asylum, and Semisonic at Scott Trade.
Cool.
So
that's cool.
Which I loved. I love Matchbox 20, that early stuff that that they put out, and still holds up.
Absolutely.
You guys, what do you guys have a favorite movie?
Fight Club.
Yeah. Well,
we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club.
You know what the second rule is?
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Good man.
Yeah, well, most of us actually, sorry Weaver, went out and saw The Force Awakens last night, so.
Yeah.
Weaver's over here getting salty. Sorry, buddy.
We got home at like 3 and I had to go to work at like 8. That was good time. It was totes worth it, by the way.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite movie right now. It kind of just it depends on when you ask me, like, what day of the week it is.
Yeah, that's kind of been the same thing with me. Like, I grew up on Star Wars, so the Star Wars movies take a pretty close to my heart on my favorite movies, but I think another thing from my childhood, my favorite movies of all time, although they were kind of butchered over time, but the Transformers movies. I love the Transformers movies. It's about the first three specifically. The rest of them kind of just But,
if you had to ask me recently, which is all I could give you, would probably be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, so I screamed out the Fight Club.
want to retract that comment?
No, I don't want to retract it. My problem is I have three favorite movies, and it changes depending on the day, so I have to make honorable mentions. It's usually, depending on the day, it's either Fight Club, Boondock Saints, or The Crow.
I did not like Boondock Saints.
How do you not like Boondock Saints?
You would be right, except for the fact that you're wrong.
There's like no plot!
Yes, there is.
So?
Yeah, there is a plot.
There is a plot. They just go around shooting stuff.
You should see the second movie.
What more do you need?
Right. Like
exactly. Oh, you're one of those guys that likes Taken.
I like a lot of different stuff.
I like
Liam Neeson was Qui-Gon Jinn and Aslan and Zeus. He was a god in two religions. Why would you try to kidnap his daughter?
Right? But, Eric, what's
I'd say mine's probably The Godfather.
Yeah.
Like, my man. Yeah.
Mafia. I love those movies. They're so good. Like, crime. I like Mafia.
Eric, I love you. Nate, I love you. Yeah. I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh, dude, you need to watch it.
We're fixing that.
Movie.
All right, so I know what we're doing.
It's like 9 hours of just...
Of amazing?
Awesome? It is. It's
well,
beautiful.
Until the second one. It's like 9 hours...
First big role.
It's like 6 hours of amazing, and then 3.5 hours of lukewarm coolness.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, I don't know. It's a lot of off time, but the stuff that like leads up, like the planning going like it's just so good. Like,
such a good movie.
We are watching Godfather now. I want to watch Godfather.
Yeah. We're doing it. It's happening.
I'm not even mad. Can we eat pizza while we watch the Godfather?
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
You already forced me to watch that. Come on.
Yeah. You still haven't finished.
Honorable mention, Big Team 6. The
Big Hero 6?
But yeah, Big Hero 6. I
Big Hero 6.
That's...
Exactly.
My hero.
Hairy baby.
But, yeah, what's yours favorite?
So, the last question I wanted to ask is, like, which... Alright, hopefully I'll be able to answer. But, what would be a song... that you guys wish you wrote?
Oh, God, don't do this to me.
Oh,
there's
no.
So many.
Okay.
Are we talking financially or creatively?
Creatively. Oh. One that sticks to you, like, that really speaks to you guys.
Okay, that's a good question.
Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. Recently, and it was Monster Eats Manhattan, the Legacy of Leave EP. I love that EP. And there were several songs on listen to it. I'm like, God, I wish I did that.
Yeah.
Like their cover of "I Just Died in Your Arms." That's amazing to me. I love that. That whole EP is just great. And then oh geez, it could be like anything. And then Rise Against discography.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could definitely hear that in some of the music we play. Like
just,
Pariah, especially. You can really hear a lot of the Rise Against.
Yeah, they don't write a bad song.
Yeah.
So it's like
they really don't.
Any song in their discography, it could be that, or anything off the Monster Eats Manhattan. Yeah.
Like, recently, I think that, Bring Me the Horizon, the band, song Sleepwalking.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I don't know, that song just clicks with me for some reason. Like, I wish I could be that genius with vocal, or, like, lyrics or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One that we were actually just jamming just for shits and giggles right before we came here, I honestly really wish that we would have wrote "If It Means a Lot to You" by Dan.
Yeah.
Just the
Weaver was like, he took my answer.
Just the lyrics of that song, the feel of that song. Just I love the male female split in it. Just everything about it. Just it, you know, it hit again. I've been using this term the whole time, but it really hits home for me. It's one of those songs. Whenever I hear it, it's just like I'm relaxed. It's like I feel it inside.
It's a song that just feels good, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a nice
Weaves, because I'm still thinking.
I would, if I absolutely had to pick one, because I can go back and like see like one that I really wish and one that's more recent. But if I had to pick one, I would say "You Should Have Killed Me When You Had the Chance."
Yeah.
But I didn't remember.
Yeah,
that's a song that I just listened to, and
you
I'm like,
it's
so good.
Yeah.
Oh God, Eric, your turn.
I already knew.
No.
Just say a Led Zeppelin song.
My feels. I should probably say a Led Zeppelin song.
Beartooth.
Oh, God.
I really like...
just messing with my emotions right
like,
now.
As soon as he asked this question, we all, like, perk up, like, oh, shit.
I was sober. That's a good question.
That is it.
Star-crossed enemies.
Yeah. All the new Ice Nine Kills
album. That whole album.
Yeah, I would probably, just because I grew up with so much classic rock, Ah, God, this is really hard. Just because, like, one song...
Oh, I thought of more, too. God.
Don't say them. I'll start crying.
No.
Me too,
well,
man.
No. Okay, the reason I say this is... when I lived in Florida, I was at a hockey game, and I heard this song come on, like, through the bleachers. And it was probably, like, I was only, like, 12 at the time. This is the
Can
first
just take
time...
a second just to process the fact that he said, when I was at a hockey game in Florida, that's a sentence you don't hear every day.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Hockey anyway. Is awesome, and Florida is equally awesome. So, yeah, I used to live in Miami. But that hearing this song, like, played through the big-ass loudspeakers in the hockey stadium and hearing a bunch of people sing along was the first time in my life that music ever gave me literal, like, actual goosebumps. And it was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, man.
Not a bad song.
It's not. I wouldn't go anywhere so far as to say that it is my favorite song, but just remembering, like...
Just that moment.
Feeling that in that moment just makes me, like, be like, oh, God, why couldn't I have been the one to cause that in someone else, you know?
Right.
I saw Slash with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators in Springfield. My friends, X714, got to open for them down there. Yeah. I am. Foxy Shazam was also on the bill.
Who I've seen live, and they are amazing.
Yeah, they're the wild one of the wildest live shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But Slash was flicking picks out at the end of the night, and like one like hit me in the chest, and then I like stomped on it, and so I caught a Slash pick, and I gave it to my friend Cortland of X714, and who Slash is like his idol, why he plays guitar and stuff. So meant more to him than me. But it was pretty cool just to be there. And then maybe a year later, I guess they played the pageant, and I went to that show again, and I got to meet Slash out back and got his autograph and stuff. So
Drake's over here leering.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, a little salty.
So,
a little salty.
Hey, remember that time I got to meet Butch Vig?
Little salty. Hey, remember that time that I got to meet Caleb Shomo from Beartooth?
I don't like Beartooth.
Remember that time that we were at a house party in Nashville with like 30 people?
Okay, you may have ended up like, yes, Beartooth did.
Beartooth has a picture on their Facebook page from that show, and it's just me and Caleb just like. It was probably one of the best moments of my life.
That's badass.
I'm so jealous.
We drove down to Nashville in Tennessee to see Beartooth because they were playing at like a house party. It was Beartooth in a room like smaller than this, and they were packed into the corner with like a really shitty PA system, and like it was like balls to the wall. Like, crazy. God forbid you have to go to the bathroom because you are not going to move an inch.
Right.
Yeah,
we weren't allowed to like jump that at the show because apparently the floor had collapsed once before. So they were like, no up and down, just side to side, just side to side. That was one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Oh, yeah.
No, there was a couple years ago, when I was actually, we were seeing this band, like I was talking about, You're Not Gonna Blammo. It was in one of those settings where everything was so packed, and it was just like
every show.
Yeah, well, it got to the point where, like,
was that basement show where everyone was taking their shirts off?
Yeah, like people like took their shirts off. Like, it was hot and sweaty. There was no air conditioning. People got electrocuted.
Oh,
people were throwing up, and it was like the hottest thing that it was like hotter than hell. There was condensation on the like on the vents on the ceiling. It was insane. Yeah,
I love it.
But those kind of shows are the best.
That was why I loved ITR. ITR was little tiny venue. Like the whole venue was like the size of this room.
Yeah.
And there was like no AC, lots of lights. It was 200 degrees all the fucking time. you never would have expected it to be as much fun to play as it was, but when you can put 20 people in a room and it's packed, and that you're playing and it's 200 degrees and you're sweating and you can barely hold on to your instrument. Like, that was the most fun place I've ever played.
Yeah, no, some of my favorite shows were at ITR. It was down the street from that place you're at in Belleville.
Everything was too loud. You couldn't hear anything.
Couldn't hear anything. Mixing was terrible. Yeah. Bands had no clue what they were doing, too.
What's it, a candle
shop? It was so fun. Yeah, no, I was actually passing by that today. It's like some arts and crafts store, which is so
punk. That's beautiful.
Drake, we need to buy ITR back.
I would happily buy ITR back. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and that's another one of those big things. Like, when you play shows like that, if we ever get the chance to play that, like, hell yeah, I'm going to play that show. Because when you play little shows like that where people are packed wall to wall, front to back, you're squishing together, like, God forbid you have to go to the bathroom, you can't move, you're so tight in. Like, those are the shows that you really like to play.
Oh, my God. Those
because,
so
you know, I mean, we could be playing the pageant, and we'd have a lot of fun. Sure. But playing a show in someone's friggin' basement
yeah.
where you can only fit like 20 people, but they're all packed in, going batshit crazy over you. Like, that gives you so much energy and so much enthusiasm.
I would rather play at a packed foo bar than a packed pageant.
Yeah, for real.
I really would.
No, actually, it's kind of funny. Like, those small venues are so much fun. Like, recently, Fivefold, they just put out their new album, and that show, that was a great show. That was one of my favorite Fivefold shows. But the other one that's probably, like, still a really close tie between that as my favorite Fivefold show was when I got to see them like play in Highland at like an American Legion post, and there were maybe like 20 people there.
Yeah. Right.
And I was able to like stand right in front of Amalong and Coco, and I was just like, I am right here. There is no guardrail. There is no stage. I'm like right next to you guys. This is fun.
Yeah, sure.
Like just those,
some of my favorite memories, my best memories of playing live was playing like our first band, or like one of our first shows at ITR, just the energy, like, spoiled, have, like, that's our first experience playing a band, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
My first experience playing a band was a middle school talent show. We were playing Green Day, and my distortion pedal's battery died halfway through the song. I was like, it's not punk rock, there's no distortion, I'm playing through the worst amp ever. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been ton of fun.
Yeah,
I had a great time hanging with you guys and getting to know you all a little better. I'll remind everybody, January 15th at Pops, come out and hear your favorite Disney songs. Hopefully done punk. Yep. Oh, yeah.
It'll be fun.
And it's a free show, so might as well show up.
It's free.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you guys have tickets. So.
Yeah.
Coco gave us about $2,000.
Yeah.
Like 2,000 tickets.
Yeah, 2,000 tickets. It's insane. Yeah.
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Please.
Oh.
Get some tickets if you need them.
Before all of us forget, too, because I was in charge of it, so I'm going to forget, but it's really everybody else's fault.
That's my fault.
Is we have a shirt for you too.
Merry Christmas!
So, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys.
Christmas is in 2 days at the point of which we're recording this.
Yeah. Well, this is very kind of you guys.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Come out January 15th, Pop, see these guys, grab some tunes on Bandcamp. These guys were cool enough to jam a couple acoustic tunes for us. So, what we have. Great Pariah and Invisible.
Yep.
We did. Live on the show. And then we want to play Cherry Blossoms or something?
We can do Cherry Blossoms.
We'll throw Cherry Blossoms.
Yeah. So,
wait, are we playing it right now?
No.
Eric almost had a heart attack.
Didn't practice for that. Oh, no.
We'll put the studio version of Cherry Blossoms on there. So,
sweet.
Give you a little taste of softer side and the full studio version. Mm-hmm. Thanks guys. This has been awesome, man. So.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah,
thanks
for having us, man.
Been really cool showing up here and talking to you.
So and thanks, Pops, for
Coco.
Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, couldn't make it out tonight because he was going to try, but Fivefold stuff calls, which is like all good, man.
Nice.
But
yeah, that takes priority. I understand that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, but thank you to Coco for letting us come up here.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, everybody!
Hey, everybody!
Okay,
okay
no, we're
saying
just
everyone.
Switch it.
Hey, everybody.
No, we're not switching it, because the same damn thing's
going to
happen.
That's all
you gotta do. No, we just say Rock, Paper, Podcast. It's
hey,
a lot less to screw
everybody,
up.
Everybody. Like a body.
Hey,
no,
everybody.
I want us to say the band name, Nate. We'll practice
okay.
it.
Until we get it.
Until
oh,
we
no,
get
no,
it, bro.
Breathe together.
All right.
One, two, three.
Hey, everybody! We're My Legacy, My Ghost!
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Is it where
this
is?
Gonna
you
be
said
so
this and threw me off.
We
okay,
are. One more time. We are or we're?
We're.
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 Okay. One, two, three.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.